I guess I would call this walk and live by faith. How many knows this never stops? This is supposed to be from the day you get born again. Because according to Scripture, we have been born again. We have been saved. We're being saved, and we will be saved. What I mean by that, according to Scriptures, when you believe on Jesus Christ, you repent of your sin, accept Him, how many knows your spirit has been rejuvenated or recreated in your spirit man? Then you've got a soul, and it has to be being saved. The Bible calls it transformed by the renewing of, that's never supposed to stop. Anytime that stops, you'll stop growing. Then the Bible talks about how that when He comes, we'll be changed. Our bodies will be changed. And the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, it calls it glorification. Or in other words, it says this mortal body will put on immortality. So all three of those are supposed to be saved. Now, we get born again in our spirits. According to Scripture, that man is recreated. He's a new creation, new creature, right? Old things have passed away, according to 2 Corinthians 15:7. All things, behold, all things are new. They're all of God. But that the place that that is on the inside of your spirit. It's not in your head. It's not in your thinking. And it's not in your physical body. So we walk and we live by faith is the title. Let's look at some scriptures here. Most of these, for most of us, will probably be very familiar scriptures. But how many knows you can't ever stop walking and living by faith? This is an all-day, everyday thing. You've got the world, you've got the devil, you've got demons, you've got your own flesh, you've got other people, you've got news coming at you all the time. How you feel, what somebody's doing to you, what they're not doing for you, all kinds of stuff. All the time, and we have to take the Word of God and renew our mind with it and say out of our mouth. So let's look here at Romans 1:17, what it says here. Let me get over there. Well, let me read it from the screen since Beth got it. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? By faith. At all times, 24/7, right? It says, now let's look at Romans 10:17. Beth will put it up there for us. It says, so then faith cometh or comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. You can't believe what you don't hear. But whatever you hear, you can believe and you must act on it. According to Scripture, the Bible says hearing the Word not mixed with faith, and that faith has action. It's what you believe and then you do. It won't profit you anything. Right? Now, I wrote this down. Because some people, when you say faith or you read faith in the Bible, they don't really know what that means. And I mean, it's very simple. I wrote this down. Faith is what I believe. And I believe what I believe based on the Word of God. Not by what somebody tells me, not by what I feel, right? Not what the devil tells me, not by thoughts. I believe what I believe based on what is written in this Word. Gosh, we should be way more excited than this. Because see, Travis, that shirt, it said immediately no. He has this saying, his favorite word is no. And I said, God's favorite word is yes. The reason why I say that is because according to Scripture, the Bible says all His promises, the word all means all, everyone, all His promises are yes and what? Amen. Amen. Amen means so be it. So God's favorite word is yes. But I must believe that. I must know what He said in His word. According to His word about me being healed, yes. According to His word about me being blessed, which is something that's put on you to prosper, to have good success, is a yes. Right? They're all yes, all of His promises. So we need to find out from the Word of God, what is His promises? What is His promises about my marriage? What is His promises about my mind? According to Scripture, we have been given the mind of Christ. Right? So we should think like the Anointed One and His anointing. Amen? But you're only going to do that to the degree that you renew your mind to the Word. So faith is just simply what I believe. So therefore, I could say, the just shall live by what they believe. Where do they get what they believe? From the Word of God. Not by what the world says or people says or the news says, but from the Word of God. Not by what your family says about you. I've seen people, they call their kids stupid. They call their kids ignorant. I was in the nursery one time and had a little kid back there, and one of the dads come back there, and he's sitting there with him. He said, "You're going to be a nobody just like me." Well, how many knows we should not say these things to our kids? We never said things like that to Travis, to the point where if you know him, he probably needs to tone down a little bit. You know, he's maybe a little bit on the extreme side of some of that stuff. But how many knows words have power? The Bible says there's life and there's death and the power of mine and your tongue. So whatever when words are spirit, they're coming from in here. They're coming from either one spirit or another spirit. They're either coming from the spirit of God or they're coming from the spirit of the devil. And whatever you say out of your mouth, it has the power to go into another person if they allow it and become whatever you've said they are. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:7, please, Beth. It says, "For we walk by faith." Now, we just got through reading Romans 1:17, right? We live by faith. This says we walk by faith. It's telling you what it means. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction. That's talking about in here. Our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. With trust and holy fervor, thus we walk not by what we see. Or you could say sight, or it says by appearance. What's that mean? When I asked you, y'all feeling good? Some of you said yes, some of you said nothing. I told you, you don't go by how you feel. If you go by how you feel and you voice what you're feeling, then how many knows? You're walking by sight. Or you're walking by feeling. You could call it the five physical senses. What you taste, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, all of those things. So we don't walk and live by that. We used to. The Bible calls it animal impulses. Whatever you had an impulse to do, most of the time you didn't think of it. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't. When I look back at my life before I got born again, especially the early years of my life, I'm like, my God. I don't remember thinking anything through. When I look back at my life, I really don't. I'm telling you, I was kind of like this. First time I ever met Scotty's brother, Alan, he had to go in the house. I'm sitting out in the truck. We're dating. I'm sitting in the truck, and I'm waiting on him to come out. Well, his brother, Alan, comes out, the one that has come here a few times before. He come out, and he gets in the truck, and he tells me we're fixing to leave. And I said, well, let's go. What I mean by that, there was no fear. I never thought about anything. Whatever I felt, I just did. Good, bad, ugly, didn't matter. How many knows, even though you've been born again, you can still do some of that. But now we're supposed to walk and live and conduct our lives by that inward man that has been born again. According to Ephesians 2, he's been recreated in righteousness and true holiness. The Bible says the salvation that's come on the inside of you, work it out. Work out your own salvation, it says, with fear and trembling. The word salvation, you look it up, it means to rescue from sin. It means deliverance and some other things. But how many knows we've already been delivered from sin, but how many knows you can still sin? So now we walk and live and conduct ourselves by what the Word of God says and what that inward man is saying on the inside of us, right? And according to there, it's not by what we see. If you're going to go by what you see and you look at your bank account and it says a negative $2,000, you're going to be one sad puppy. But if you walk and you live by faith, I'm telling you, been there, done that. If you walk and you live by faith, you look at that bank account and you speak to it what the Word of God says. The Bible says, God's Word says, I am the head and not the tail. I lend and I don't borrow. I am above and not beneath. I don't know how, God, and I don't know when, but I know you're going to bring me out. And you say it not just out of your head, but out of your heart because you believe that word. You've put it in there and now it has become rooted and grounded. And when what you see is contrary to what you believe written by the Word of God, you speak to it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, God calls those things that be not. Richard, I'm telling you, I have been in service where Rhonda and other people that had to get to prophecy different things would call me up and prophesy to me and me think, and me know where I am right now. And it ain't nowhere near what they're saying. And me be like, God, how can you say those things? He says them by faith. Because he knows the plan that he has for us, and he knows the end result of what he has chosen and called us to be. Right? And he speaks to us from that place. So sometimes the ugly thing that we may be at the time, when God looks at you and he speaks about you, he calls you beautiful. He calls you blossom. He says, we have been accepted in the beloved. Glory to God. So we walk and we live by faith, by what we believe, not by what we see. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't been doing it or you're just starting, this is probably one of the hardest things that I ever had to learn to do. Because you feel. It looks like. And it's looked this way for years. And it looks like it ain't going to change. But according to Scripture, the Apostle Paul said, those things that are seen, they're temporal. Means they're temporary. But those things that are not seen, the Word of God and the things that He says in His Word that are not, they are eternal. So therefore, that means the eternal can change the temporary at absolutely any time that we believe it. Your body could be ravaged with sickness and disease. And in an instant, it can be totally healed. But not by you keeping on saying what it is, or me, whoever. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1. Very familiar scriptures. It said, and this is the Amplified version. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Richard, if I hold the title to a deed to a car, I own that car, even though I may have never seen it. It could be in another state, but guess it's mine. Right? That's what it says faith is. How many knows? You can't have faith for what you see. Why? Because you see it. There's no need to you try to believe it. Why do you call a dog? Or a cat or whatever? You want it to come. God calls. When God called for light out of darkness, light came, didn't it? He says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Means I have it right now. Of the things we hope for. That word hope means a confident expectation. It's kind of like a woman that is pregnant. You know that you know that you know in 9 months, not 12, that baby's coming. Right? It says confident expectation for being the proof of the things, what? I don't see. So where's the basis for what I don't see? Right here. If it's not right here, then I can't believe it. See, if you know me, say you've known me 40, 50 years, and you have never known me to tell a lie, and you know me to everything that I say, I do it, and I say, Richard, I'm going to come over there tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to mow your grass. Can you believe that or not? Yeah. I've never lied to you. You know me to be a person of every time. What I say, I do. But now, if I don't say it, you could say, well, Teresa's going to come mow my grass. How can you believe that? You can't believe it. That's what you want, but you can't believe it. Do you get what I'm telling you here? I believe it because God said it. And if God didn't say it, then therefore I can't believe it, right? That's how come I can't be believing God for somebody else's husband. They're already married. But he says it's the proof of things that I do not see. And the conviction, what, of their reality. When you're really in faith and you're believing, it is real to you just as well if you could see it in your hand right now, in here. You know that you know that you know you have it, it's yours. He says, what we do not see in the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact. Where do you have faith perceiving? Right in here. Not up here. This thing right up here will lie to you. But right on the inside of here, it says faith or believing, perceiving as real fact, not if, what is not yet revealed to your senses. I can't hear it. I can't see it. I can't taste it. I can't feel it, but I know it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what he says faith is. And if you don't have that, you're not really in it. But how many knows you can get in it? It's a matter of your choice. Let's look here at Romans 12, 2. We'll read it from the screen. It says, and be not conformed to this world, this age, the way lost people, this world does things, sees things, right? If I've been born again, then that means I'm separate. I don't think like the world. I don't talk like the world. I don't conduct business like the world, right? That's what he's saying here. Be not conformed, or you could say molded, to this world. He says, but be ye transformed. The word transformed there is metamorphosis. It's like a worm or whatever you call that thing, caterpillar, goes into a cocoon. It's there for a period of time, not just overnight, but for a period of time. And when it comes out, it is no longer that caterpillar. Now it's transformed. It's something different. It can go places it never went before, right? A caterpillar crawls on the ground or something like this. A butterfly can soar. It can see things that it couldn't see before. It's different. It's transformed. But he says the way you get that way is not by being born again. Right? He says by the renewing of your mind. Now, what that means is probably everybody in here has seen it done or you've done it yourself, remodeled a house. Or you could say refurbished an old piece of furniture, an old chair or an old dresser or something. It is still the same dresser, right? It's not a different dresser. It's the same dresser, but it has been renewed. It has been redone. That's exactly what he's talking about here. By the renewing of your mind is the way your life is going to be transformed. He says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how do I do that? Put up Hebrews 13:5, please, Beth. I just wrote some things down here that I had to work on at different times. This will be the Amplified Version. You ever feel alone? You feel alone. It doesn't matter if somebody's around. You just feel like you are all by yourself. Usually that's when I'm in a trial or a test or something other, or the devil's lying to me or something. But I feel alone. Notice what this says. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, all that stuff. I'm going to skip on down for time's sake, where it says, circumstances and with what you have, be content. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you. God's never lied. His word has been tested over time, and he has never failed. Not one word of God, the Bible says, will ever fail or fall to the ground. God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. He says, I will not, three times, I will not, he said, in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So when I feel alone, that's my feelings. That's walking by, we would call it sight. But it's actually my feelings. When I feel alone, I say this. Not from the Amplified, I just wanted you to see it the way it said it in that. When I feel alone, I say out of my mouth, because I know what the Word says and what His promise is, God, you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You're with me always, according to your word. God, you said according to your word, the day I got born again, your Holy Spirit came on the inside of me. So therefore, I'm never alone. So that is exactly how you renew your mind. You take the word of God. You meditate on it. Meditating is kind of like eating food. You chew it. Till one day, guess what? You get it. You swallow it, and it gets down in here. But you take the word of God, just like that one right there. When you feel alone, say it out of your mouth. Listen, you don't cast a thought out with another thought. You cast a thought out with words, by the word of God. Now, let's look at another one. Put up 1 John 2:20. I had to use this one this morning. when I don't know. Who knows? There's a lot I don't know. A lot I don't know. How many knows? He knows everything. Look at this scripture. He says, but you have an unction. That word unction translates an anointing. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And what? You know all things. So next verse says, for that anointing or that unction will teach you. This morning I had to use this. Because how many knows there's a lot in this word. And I've been doing this for a long time now. And doing this for a long time, I know some things. I could pick out a topic or a subject and bring it here, but how many knows that's not going to work? Because it is the only thing that's going to work here that's going to do any good for anybody is what He is saying to us at this moment. That's the anointed word. I wasn't getting it, Johnny. I'm praying. I've fasted for this service. I've sought the Lord. I've read my Bible. I mean, until He gives it, you don't have it. There was a lot of things. I was thinking about a lot of different things this morning. And every time I would think about it, I always look in here. Because in here, according to Scripture, the Bible says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Not my head, but my spirit. So I was thinking about this subject, and I looked in here, and it's like, eh. I thought about another subject, you know, and I'm praying in tongues and all of that, seeking the Lord. And I thought, eh. Thought about another subject, and I thought, nah. I said, Lord, I don't have it till you give it. I said, in myself, God, I can do nothing. In myself, God, I have nothing. What is that? John 15? I said, but according to your word, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I went on about my business, getting out clothes, different stuff like that. Why? I have to walk and live by faith in doing this. Because I don't have it. Then lo and behold, I'm like, okay, just get my Bible, I put it on the counter, get ready, I'm fixing to go get in the shower and all of that. And I thought, okay, I just trust you, hey. If we prophesy and everybody's laid out in the Spirit, we don't need a word. I don't know what you're going to do this morning, but I know you're going to do something, whatever you want to. Lo and behold, I get in the kitchen and Scotty says, what are you preaching on? I thought, are you serious? I said, Scotty. He's like, what? We usually don't talk about that stuff. And I thought, of all days, you just got to feel led all of a sudden. When up here, I don't have a clue. You hear what I'm telling you? Up here, I don't know. So I tell him, why you ask me that? So I just told him. I said, up here, I don't know. I said, but in here, I have an anointing, and I know all things, and I will know. But see, when he said that, it felt like pressure to say, I don't know. But if I believe that he's in me, and I have that anointing, and that anointing's going to teach me. If I believe, according to the Word, the Holy Spirit is my teacher. He's my leader. He's my guide. He's my comforter. He's my standby. If I truly believe all those things in here, then I can walk and live by faith that God, when I get here, I'll know. So I had to live that this morning. So I go on, you know, come about my business. 3 minutes later, I got this. I'm like, it's 5 till 9. I mean, it's just boom, 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 boom. Why? Because, see, you have to walk and live by faith in all things, at all times. You walk and you live by what you believe according to the Word. Not according to how you feel, not according to your own thoughts, right? God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Okay, so we didn't, none of us know that. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. But how many knows? We're called to think His thoughts. We're called to walk in His ways. So that'd be good if y'all write this stuff down. Just like that one right there. When you don't know, When you don't know which way to go. When you don't know the decision to make. You walk and you live by this right here. I don't know, but Holy Ghost, you know everything. And you're in me. I believe you're going to tell me. You're going to lead me. You're going to guide me. I'm going to follow that inward witness. Whatever you say, even if it looks stupid. Joel 3:10, please. I do this one. He says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. This is the part of the talking about. Let the weak what? How I feel. How it looks. What mom and them said. What my bank account says. What my job said when I got a pink slip or got laid off. Right, Johnny? What's it say? Let the weak say what? I am strong. I say this almost every day. Not that first part, but that latter part. Every time you feel weak physically, every time you feel weak spiritually, right? Say it out of your mouth. I am strong. I also do Ephesians 6:10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I don't say it that way. I say that almost every day. Lord, according to your word of Ephesians 6:10. Thank you, Lord. I am strong in you, God, and in the power of your might. Not my own, but yours. I'm telling you, you do about an hour of this stuff I'm talking about, you are pumped. And it ain't just hype. Your spirit man. The Bible says it's the strong spirit of a man that'll sustain him in times of weaknesses, trials, infirmities, and different things. Put up Psalm 118:24, please. Very familiar scriptures. It says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We what? It's an act of your will. It's an act of my will. I choose it. I have to choose it. If you don't choose it, the devil will choose it for you. Circumstances will choose it for you. But he says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I don't feel glad. Golly, Mom, that's exactly what I'm telling you not to consider. Don't consider how you feel. Don't consider. The Bible says Abraham in Romans 4 did not consider Sarah's body at the promise of God when God said he was going to have a son through her. He didn't consider it. He didn't look at it. He didn't think about it. The Bible says he believed what God said. We have to believe what God has said. And we have to say it out of our mouth. And you may have to go over these scriptures and meditate on them and go over them and meditate on them until they become a part of you. Till, I mean, just like that, something happened and immediately the Word of God comes out of you. Because whatever you're full of, when the pressure's on, that's what's coming out. But he says, an act of my will, I will rejoice. There's times I go to bed, I'm good. Had a good day, feeling good, everything's good. And I wake up and I feel defiled. Y'all ever do that? Just feel yucky, just feel defiled, feel like I've done something wrong. How could I have done something wrong while I'm asleep? And I get up and I do this scripture. I say this out of my mouth. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. And I choose, God, to rejoice. And I choose to be glad in it. Then you can go over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. And he begins to tell us what to do. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say what? Rejoice. Then you skip on down, and he talks about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And then, in case we're a little dumb, a little slow, like I have been at times, to get it, he tells us what to think on. Because, see, you're going to think on something all day. Oh, you never have a time that your mind is just blank. So that's some of that yoga stuff. That's what they do. Empty your mind. Oh, empty your... You don't want an empty mind, I'm telling you right now, because the devil will feel it. That's why we got to feel it. My mind, your mind belongs to you. And whatever's going on in there is what you're letting go on in there. So he tells us, if we're a little slow, what to think on. He says, think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are virtuous. Think on things that are praiseworthy. Think on things that is a good report. If it's a bad report, don't think on it. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the banker said. That's subject to change. And me thinking on it is not going to help me change it. And you might think, well, I don't know how to meditate. I don't know how to just think. Yes, you do. Everybody in here, I guarantee you, at least one time or another, you have worried. That's meditation. You take the Word of God and you think on it and you think on it and you think on it and you think on it. You get something comes contrary to it, you cast it out. You say out your mouth. So we have to, of an act of our will, rejoice and be glad in it. We have to, as an act of our will, do Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. We have to set our minds. The Bible says, according to Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, right? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Think on those kinds of things, not these earthly things. These are subject to change at any moment. When we believe it. And we do it. So I'm probably not saying something that everybody in here don't already know. We've been over this and over. But you never stop doing this. You never stop doing this. I don't care if you do know a scripture. How many knows that as you meditate on that and you do that word will change your circumstances every time. And any time that you don't do that, they won't change. Even if you've changed them 100 times before, this time it won't change if you don't do the Word. According to James 1:22, he says, be doers of the Word. What's that mean? Whatever you hear, do it. Because see, there's a deception that comes along with just hearing. When you hear and you don't do, you deceive your own self, the Bible says, into thinking that you are actually a doer of the Word because you can quote it and you know it. But when I'm a doer, I get results. The Word never fails. It never changes. He's never slack according to concerning His promises, right? He doesn't sleep and He doesn't slumber, so go to sleep! She said, amen, didn't she? Well, you can go to sleep. I've had sleeping problems my entire life, ever since I was a teenager. There would be years that I would sleep a little bit better than others, but I mean, I'm 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning at Walmart buying groceries because I ain't got nothing else to do and everybody in my house is asleep. I mean, that's just the way I have been. Well, I begin to take the Word of God. There's two places in Psalms, and I can't think right now of the Scriptures. And you'd think 6 years of reading them, but anyway, I can't think of them right now. But they're in Psalms. You can go look them up. And it talks about one of them. That it gives you, He gives your my beloved sweet sleep. He said, it is vain for me to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrow. And when I say that, I said, I will not do it. I refuse to eat the bread of sorrow. What he's talking about is you get up early, you stay up all day, and you stay up late into the night, and you are worrying about what's happening. And how many knows, the more you do that, the more it gets down, rooted and grounded in here. And the more fear you get, and the more fear you get. And fear, according to Scripture, I can't think of enough, what is it? 1 John 4:18, it says that fear has torment. But it says, perfected love cast out fear. So it says, and eat the bread of sorrow. Don't do it. And you might say, well, I can't help you. Yes, you can. Anybody can. In you, no, you can't. But in Him, you can do all things, He said. I can do everything this Word says that I can do. If I will believe it, receive it, and act on it. Because it's not me. I'm just doing what He said. His Word and His Spirit is the one that brings it to pass. But He said, I give my beloved sweet sleep. Sandy, I've been saying them two scriptures for 6 or 7 years now. And when I would read those, I read those and I read them out loud. And I don't read them just like reading them. I decree them and I declare them. They are mine. I have it now. And then I begin to say, thank you, Lord. I lay down and go to sleep any time, day or night, that I choose to. And I wake up and get right up just like that any time, day or night, that I choose to. Johnny, there's times I'm putting Scotty in the bed at 15 till 10. I'm not kidding. I'm almost. Now, I don't go to sleep right then. I go in there, get in the bed, and I sleep in the bed now. I don't sleep on the couch, and that's a long story. I'm not getting into that. I go in there, and I got me a big TV on the wall. And I get in my sleep number bed, and I turn the TV on the Nature Channel, and I turn the sound off. So that it makes it a little more boring with no sound on there. And I lay there a little bit, then I cut the TV off, and I go to sleep. And I get up when my clock goes off, if I choose to. Sometimes I don't choose to. Why am I telling? It's not me. You understand what I'm telling you? That word got on the inside of me, and it began to work in my body. It began to work in my mouth. It began to work in my mind. Till now, I go to bed when I choose to go to bed. And I go to sleep when I choose to go to sleep. And I get everything I said. I'm living in it now. That's not just me. I didn't do that. His word did that. He said, be transformed. Your life changed. How? By the renewing of your mind according to the word of God. Just like you. There's some that will tell you, just like AA and different programs, great, I'm thankful that they're there or whatever. But anything that somebody tells you that you are recovering this and you're always going to be this and you're always going to have this problem, that's a lie. You get born again and the Bible says you are a new creation. You have never been before. So therefore, you have never been addicted to absolutely anything. Not just you, lots of us. But when you're made new, you are made new. Now, if you're not born again, you're still the same old you always been. I'm giving a drink here. I'm getting kind of thirsty. let me turn over to this one. Because it's more than just 31 that I want, but that's all I had time to write down. Young, look it up. We're going to do Isaiah 40. Anybody know what this says? Lots of good. This is another one that I do almost every day. This is Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 29 is what I read almost every day, and I declare it, and I'm going to read it the way that I say it. He, God, giveth power to the faint. You ever feel faint? You ever feel faint spiritually? You're at the end of your rope, and you just feel like you can't hang on no longer? He gives power to those kind of people. He, God, giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. Oh, glory to God, He didn't leave out nobody. Oh. And He increases strength. You feel weak? You feel weak spiritually? He increases strength, He said. Spiritually, physically, however you need it. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, that's me, Father, I wait upon you, God. So now you are talking to me, right? You wait on Him, He's talking to you. But he says, the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, glory to God, that's me. My strength shall be renewed. I shall mount up with wings as eagles. I will run, and I will not be weary. And I will walk, and I will never faint. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Almost every day I say that like that. You might say, well, that's good for you. Well, then it won't work for you. Because, see, there's nothing special about me whatsoever. But it's about the Word of God. What you do with it. When you act on what He said, believing what He said, He works that Word in you. The Bible says, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Bible says in 1 John 5, if I ask anything according to His will, then I know that He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, then I know I have the petitions that I have asked of Him. When I read this, and I say this, and I decree this, I believe, God, this is according to Your will, God. You want me to be strong. You want me to run and not be weary. You want me to walk and not faint. Thank You, Lord, I've asked according to Your word. Thank You, Father, I have it. Philippians 4:13, Beth. I quoted this, and probably everybody in here could quote it. Mammy knows, it's not about what you can quote. I have used this scripture splitting wood, Richard. One particular time that I'm thinking of, Scotty had cut down a big tree in the yard. That thing is probably about like this. I couldn't reach around it. And anyway, he's in there in the shop, and the wood splitter we got at the time, it's one of them on the ground. It's not like the one we got now. He's in the shop, his shop up there, lollygagging, talking with one of his brothers. And, of course, when I'm working. It's like, I don't care who's up there, let's get this done. But now he's talking. So, anyway, I can't reach around this thing, and it's hard, and I say this scripture. I say, Holy Spirit, I ask You to help me get this wood busted. Now, in me, I'm not strong enough to do that. But how many knows if he can come on Samson and he can tote the gates of a city and he can move pillars of a building where they crash down on top of people's heads, he can surely strengthen me to get that wood up on that wood splitter. I said, Holy Spirit, I ask You to help me split this wood, please, sir. You are my helper. The Bible says You are. And I thank You, Lord, according to Your word of Philippians 4:13, I can do all. So that means there's nothing that you can't do. If He'll help you. I can do all things through Christ. I split every bit of that wood, Richard, me and the Holy Ghost. And then he finally got through with his talking. I'm telling you, preachers, they can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. I don't know what in the world. They can just talk and talk forever, seems like. But by the time he got done with his talking, that wood was split. I used that at my house. Things that I seem like I can't do. Scotty, he's like, well, we need equipment for that. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. What did we used to do? Y'all don't have none of this at y'all's house. Maybe it's just me. I'm married to Weston. That's what he thinks. I need a tractor for that. God, I got to have a backhoe for that. And I'm like, what did we used to do? Just pick it up. Just get it done. But no. So lo and behold, they see big old rocks out there. Years ago, I made me a fire pit. Got these big old rocks out there. I said, Holy Ghost, I need You to help me, sir. You're going to have to help me pick these rocks up. Because I tried to pick it up, and I'm like, I'm not even moving it. But Sandy, I tell you the honest to God's truth. I prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to help me and quote this scripture right. You can go look in my backyard, those rocks. I have them up there in my backyard. See, it's not just spiritual. It's my everyday life. Anything you need help with, if you'll look to Him and ask Him and believe what He says, He will help you do it. You need wisdom for your kids? God knows we all do. I'm telling you, without this manual right here, we can do some, I started to say something else, messing up of kids. That's part of what's wrong with them today. Anyway, we ain't going to get on all that. And then kids are like, yeah, let's don't. But anyway, my point of all this is, if you'll do what the Word says, He will do. He will back up His Word. He will do everything that He's promised. If it's finances that you need, He said according to His Word, right? He'll meet every need that you have. Then why would you worry? The Bible talks about how the sparrows. Y'all ever seen a sparrow on a power line going, God, I got to have some nuts, I got these babies over here. Seriously, y'all ever seen that sparrow up there doing that? Of course not. The Bible says He feeds them. Y'all ever seen what He called the lilies of the valley? You ever seen what they call them little buttercups? Grow out there, little green leaves and little buttercups. He said, Sandy, they don't work. They don't spin nor toil, He says. They don't work. But yet He brings them up, right? Then He says, why would you worry? I'm telling you, it is a killer to your faith. There is absolutely no reason for any of us to worry about anything. Not your kids, not your finances, not your marriage. Absolutely nothing. But when the heat is on, you got to remember and do all of what this said. I've got to stop because our time is up. Is there anybody have any questions or comments or anything before we close? All right. Well,